My sermon topic for this morning is the immutability of God. Now, I realize that immutability is a big word. It is seldom used. I seldom use it, and I've rarely heard it used. But it's an attribute of God that tells us that he is unchangeable. Early in my theological education, I was introduced to the Westminster Confession of Faith, and it has a definition of God. Question 4 in that catechism asks the question, what is God? Listen to the answer. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God is unchangeable, or to use my big word, God is immutable. God does not change. The Bible teaches this truth to us in a number of verses, and we'll look at some of those verses shortly. But I've chosen as my text Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, where God tells us, I am the Lord. I do not change. There you have the immutability of God. It's an important topic, and I cannot explain to you why we don't hear more about it. But I'll do what I can to make up at least a little bit of that neglect this morning. And I'll also say that I was pleased this past week as we used the Nearer to God devotional booklet that the writer there spent a couple of days on the immutability of God. So he's already got us thinking in the right direction. And I think it's a very good thing that the Lord's people be familiar with the idea that God is unchangeable and what that means to us. Here now, the immutability of God, the fact of it, the necessity, and the blessings that flow our way because of it. I begin with the fact. God tells us simply and clearly through the prophet Malachi, I do not change. I chose this text because I think it's the clearest and simplest statement in all the Bible that teaches the immutability of God. God simply does not change. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are other verses in the Bible that give us the same teaching, and we want to look at some of them. Take verses 25, 26, and 27 in Psalm 102. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The earth, the heavens, the work of God's hands, all these things can change, but not God. He is the same. He does not change. I am reminded here of the hymn we used to sing it when I was in high school in Glebe Collegiate in Ottawa. We had a devotion at the beginning of the day, one day a week. And the most frequently sung hymn was the hymn, Abide With Me. I suspect many of you will be familiar with it, but I think particularly of the second verse, where the writer declares, change and decay, and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. So that's true. Everything around us changes. The world changes. The weather changes. Your clothing changes. If not for style, it'll wear out eventually, and you'll need a change of garments. The house changes, and it's going to need some maintenance. And we ourselves change and grow old. I'm a lot different today than I was that day in 1942 when my mother first marched me off to my first day of kindergarten. And you're a lot different than you used to be, too. We all change, but not God. He does not change. He is ever and always the same. James 1:17 is another verse that tells us about the immutability of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Shadows are changing all the time. The sun moves across the sky and casts shadows on the earth, but as the sun moves, the shadows change. But God never changes. There's even suggestion of the immutability of God in his name, given to Moses by God. When God appeared to Moses at the burning bush to call Moses to lead his people out of Egypt, Moses asked God for his name that he might tell the people of Israel who had appeared to him. And God told Moses to tell the people, I am, has sent me to you. God is the great I am. God did not say to Moses, I was, or I will be. He said, I am, indeed suggesting that he's always and ever the same. We're also told in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He, like the Father, does not change. So as we consider these verses, we take note that all of them give us this one common message. God doesn't change. He's ever the same. Or to use the big word, he is immutable, the unchanging one. There are, however, folks that wonder about these passages in the Bible that talk about, particularly those verses that talk about God repenting. Does God not change when he repents? This is the argument that we sometimes hear. Consider, if you will, the story of Jonah. God went to a lot of trouble to get his prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell the people there, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. God was going to destroy the city of Nineveh for its wickedness. And what happened? Well, the Ninevites hearkened to the prophet Jonah. They turned from their evil ways. They clothed themselves in sackcloth, fasted, and cried out to the Lord to spare them. Then we read in Jonah 3, verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God did not do what he told Nineveh he would do. He changed his mind, evidently, and did not destroy Nineveh at that time. And there are folks that will argue, see, God changed his mind. Really? I wouldn't be too sure. I would suggest that what really changed was the behavior of the Ninevites. They turned from their evil ways. They stopped doing evil. And what also changed was the relationship between God and the Ninevites because of the changed Ninevite behavior. God still rejects rebellious sinners while he embraces repenting sinners. And God was simply being true to himself as Nineveh repented and sought his mercy. So don't let the repentance of God suggest to you that God changes. God does not change. We've heard the scripture telling us that. God is a spirit, unchangeable in his being. He's the immutable God. That's the fact. Okay, having established the fact of God's immutability, we can move on to consider the necessity of God's immutability. The necessity of God's immutability can be seen from more than one point of view. We need to look at it from the point of view of God's perfection. Jesus points to the perfection of God when he tells us in Matthew 5, verse 48, be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Our Father in heaven is perfect. God is perfect. There should be no doubt whatsoever about that. But what happens to perfection when you start making changes to it? If you make a change to a perfect God, does he not cease to be perfect? Does he not become something else, what he is changed to? And that cannot be. But it's either that, or if he is perfect after the changes are made, he couldn't have been perfect in the first place. He must have been something else to begin with, to be changed to the perfect. So with either understanding, changing perfection just doesn't work. So a perfect God is of necessity changeless. And so as God is revealed to us in Scripture, we find him to be revealed as both perfect and immutable. It has to be that way. It's necessary to be that way. And this necessity of God's immutability can also be seen from the ethical point of view. Now, let's suppose for a moment God does change. Thankfully, he doesn't, but let's suppose just for a moment that he does. And after he has changed, he becomes somewhat dissatisfied with the Ten Commandments. He decides that, well, you know, I've been much too strict, and what I'll do is I'll eliminate commandments 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Now you can disobey authorities to your heart's content. And if you're so inclined to get rid of somebody by killing them, go ahead. If you like. You can commit adultery anytime you want. You can steal whatever your heart desires and lie through your teeth. And what happens to society when people start living that way? Well, society starts breaking down. It suffers ruin. Happily, God doesn't change. This kind of thing does not happen. Our problem today is that many of us have changed, and many of us have eliminated those commandments. And wherever society rejects them, society starts breaking down. And we have the many messes in corners of society today where the law of God is not followed. Or suppose again that God changes and decides that the Ten Commandments are not enough. He starts adding to the commandments. Surely that'll make things better, wouldn't you think? And the next thing you know, there are 173 commandments. And life starts getting horribly complicated. For example, think of how our income tax laws have changed over the years. I remember when doing my income tax was rather simple, but over the years, the government has kept making changes. And today, many people need an accountant to get through them, which is pretty well where I find myself today. And if God changed his laws, like the government has changed the tax laws, you'd pretty well need a lawyer before you got up in the morning, or stepped out the front door. Or worse yet, suppose God started making changes and he started something totally new every day. And we'd have no idea how to behave. Life would simply become impossible. So yes, thank God, he does not change. He is immutable, and his commandments for our lives are constant. The Ten Commandments are as certain today as on that day God first announced them from the top of Mount Sinai. Excuse me. And they remain the best way for humans created in the image of God to live. They'll lead you into the best possible life. I remember in student days, what's so important about God being unchangeable? And then a believing brother pointed out to me some of these perspectives I've just gone over. And immediately I became thankful God does not change. Thank God he is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in all his perfections. Thank God he is exactly the way he is. But we're just getting started. There are other good things about God's immutability that bring blessings our way. For one thing, we can be confident that we live in a stable world because God doesn't change. The world is here until the purposes of God for it are fulfilled. I was reading Jeremiah not so long ago when I came to Jeremiah 33, verse 2. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. It is he who keeps the world in place. Ephesians 1 verse 11 tells us he works all things according to the counsel of his will. Hebrews 1 adds that God has spoken to us through his Son and is upholding all things by the word of his power. This world is not going to cease anytime soon. And we can count on that because God is unchangeable. Another thing of which we can be confident, because God is unchangeable, is that his word is fixed and unchangeable. Isaiah 40 verse 8 tells us, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. God has spoken. His word is recorded in our Bible. And that word will stand forever. It will not change. You can be confident that what it says is true. It's as true and as sure today as when God first spoke through the prophets and the apostles. You can depend upon what it says absolutely, because God does not change. And having said that, we need to listen to what it says with care. It does contain some bad news for us sinners who have broken God's commandments. Indeed, it tells us we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. There is none righteous, no, not one. We're all guilty in God's sight. And that's bad, because God's word also tells us the soul who sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. And then comes the day of judgment, when all men will be judged. This too is certain and sure. And that doesn't sound good for guilty sinners, but something more is certain and sure as well. God has promised us a Savior. Way back in the beginning, he promised to send one who would crush the tempter's power. Later, he promised that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And just before he was born, his earthly father was told, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." We learn about this Jesus from God's unchanging word. He lived a faultless and holy life. He was rejected by his people. And then, knowing what they wanted to do, he deliberately went to Jerusalem, their chief city, where they seized him, condemned him, and put him to death on the cross. And there Jesus suffered God's judgment upon sins. But they were not his sins. They were the sins of his people for whom he died. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is certain and sure, because God's word does not change. God does not change. So there's God's promise to sinners who believe in Jesus. They will not perish, but they'll have everlasting life. And to those same believers, God makes many more promises. There's the promise of forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is the promise that he said he'd make us righteous. Romans 5, verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus are counted as righteous. They're given the righteousness of Jesus. And then there's the promise of wisdom, James 1, 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. get into the Bible, and the more you learn, the wiser you'll be. There's the promise of strength for the journey, Isaiah 40. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And there's the promise of care along the way, 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. There's the promise that Jesus will always be with us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's the promise of a heavenly home. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And there's the promise that Jesus will come again to receive us unto himself. John 14:3, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And that's just a sample of the promises that God gives to us in Scripture. There are so many more. I remember when I was a little fellow, somebody gave my mother a promise box. And it was filled with little cards about the size of a business card. And there must have been, maybe 100 or maybe 200 in it. Every one of those cards had a promise of Scripture printed on it. And I remember thinking, wow, that's a lot of promises. And every one of them is sure, because God is unchangeable. So I conclude by asking, do you think the immutability of God is an important doctrine? Well, it's based on the fact God does not change. It's a complete necessity because of who God is. And every promise of the Word of God depends upon it, as I've tried to demonstrate this morning. Never minimize the immutability of God. Believe the doctrine. Embrace the immutable God by faith. Embrace his unchanging Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the enabling of his Holy Spirit. Amen.